You're listening to WPVM LP in Asheville, North Carolina. 103.7 on your dial and streaming globally at WPVMFM.org.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Plenty of sunshine across the mountains for this Father's Day and the first day of summer. Our high near 87 this afternoon here in town. Mostly clear skies tonight, the low going down to 65. On Monday, showers and thunderstorms likely. Some of those storms could be strong to severe. Our high on Monday near 87, the low Monday night going down to around 65. I'm Johnny Cottle on Radio Asheville 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Broadcast on the Pacifica Network and WPVM-FM and featured on over 100 radio, TV, and podcast platforms nationwide. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern or listen anytime online. Visit DawnMarieWestmoreland.com.
Hello, and welcome back. It's so good to have you here. If it's your first time, glad to have you here. My show is about resilience, as you just heard in the intro. And why is resilience so very important? Well, I'm in my early 60s now, and I've experienced a lot of things being in the Air Force, retired from the Air Force 21 years ago. And I also had to deal with Hurricane Helene, which was almost 2 years ago, well, it'll be in September, the end of September of this year. And we dealt with flooding, we dealt with bad water, we dealt with no electricity, we dealt with loss of work, loss of connection, so many things. And then you talk about folks that get older, that haven't prepared for being older, you know, having money for those days when they need money. Let's get into it, because resilience is about being prepared. There's many, many aspects about resilience, but the thing is that the more that you're prepared, the more resilient you'll be. So let's jump into Hurricane Helene that happened, I think it was the 24th of September, almost 2 years ago. Now, I was very, very fortunate because I was in North Florida. However, I was dealing with another hurricane that was coming down onto North Florida. So we were without power for 5 days. I was with my mother, who at the time was about 83 years old. And so I'm the person that's doing all the work, you know, all the preparations. You know, one of the first things that you want to do when you've got wind coming in is to get everything off the porch, to make sure there's nothing that's going to go flying, that's going to hurt an animal. You know, we had animals at the time. Something that's going to fly into your neighbor's yard or destroy your house or destroy your neighbor's house. You know, that's common sense. But sometimes people forget about what to do. They get in a panic. And that's another thing that you never want to do, because if you panic, then you're not going to be prepared. You're going to just be paralyzed. So let's get into, you know, let's talk about tornadoes or hurricanes. One of the things about, you know, a tornado coming in is a lot of times they touch down. You don't have really much notice. I prefer, believe it or not, if I had to have a natural storm, is a hurricane. Because hurricanes, you know, days out, generally, that it's coming your way. There's plenty of time to prepare, to board down the house, the windows, to pack up all your essentials and get out of Dodge, as I like to say. That is my preference. So the thing is to know the risk of your area. Now, sometimes you would never guess, you know, like when we had Hurricane Helene, that was the storm of the century. Never, ever, ever did I feel unsafe living here the past 21 years. In fact, I used to jokingly tell everybody, I live in the greatest place for safety. We don't really have bad weather here. At the time, it was true. And then Hurricane Helene came in. So know the signs, you know, of a tornado. Know the signs of a hurricane. Watch the weather station. Also, you know, things that you want to have is you could have a ham radio. There's people in all communities out there that are using ham radios so they can communicate to each other. Because if you lose power for days and you don't have some kind of solar, something solar to restart your phone or to do things or, something that you can start up and keep your refrigerator cold, you know, a few days longer, things like that, that's when people get in trouble. So one of the things that you can do is sign up for your community's warning system. And that's really easy. You know, you can go to ready.gov. They have some great, great, great ideas and resources to tell you how to prepare for bad weather. So know the signs of your tornado or hurricane. Sign up for your community warning system. And if you don't know how to do it, again, go to ready.com and you'll find that information right there. It's so important to pay attention to the weather reports. I know. A lot of times it seems like it's pure sensationalism and, you know, people just laugh. Some people, not everybody, I don't. Some people laugh at it and they say, oh, we haven't had a hurricane. We haven't had hail. We haven't had this or that in many, many years. But the truth is our weather is changing. Why? I'm not the expert on that, but we do know it's changing. The sign up and pay attention to weather reports. Here's another thing. Identify and practice going to a safe shelter. Now, I have a basement, and I would go into my basement in a heartbeat, not for flooding, but, you know, for wind, you know, strong winds, hurricanes, tornadoes, something like that going in. But if I did not have that option, I would probably look at the community's opportunities, you know, I say opportunity solutions, what's out there, shelters that are out there, and not wait to the last minute. And I'll share a story that really did happen. It was very alarming too. Many, many years ago when I was in the Air Force, much younger, Hurricane Opal was bearing down. I think it was Category 4, almost a 5. I mean, it was scary, scary, scary. And it was coming right toward Mexico Beach. At that time, I was living in Parker, Florida, which is right near, probably about 40 minutes from Panama City, Florida. Now, I grew up in Florida, so I am used to hurricanes. I know what I need to do. At the time, I was in a relationship with somebody who'd grown up in Kentucky, and they'd never experienced hurricanes. And I kept saying to my partner at the time, we need to get the heck out of Dodge. We need to go. Let's pack up. Well, he didn't take it very seriously, and I started to panic. In fact, I panicked so much, I said, I'm leaving with or without you. I've got the truck loaded. I got all my grandmother's old quilts, you know, things that could never be replaced again. Finally, the very last day, right before the day before the storm is about to hit, Hurricane Opal, he decided to board up the house. And because he was hurt, he ended up, you know, hammering his hand and it was bloody, it was nasty. He packed up all the things that he wanted. He put it in the truck. And then we started heading down the road. Now, this is my first experience doing this, okay? This is what I learned. We drove, I think it was about 14 hours, sometimes just sitting on the highway for hours because the road was gridlocked. I knew that was going to happen. And I kept saying to my partner, we can't wait till the last minute. And I told him all the reasons why. Everybody's buying up gas, you're out of gas. The roads get gridlocked. Well, 14 hours later, and we're, if I had to drive where we ended up, I probably could have gotten there in about four and a half, maybe 5 hours at the very worst. 14 hours because the roads were gridlocked. And if you don't know what gridlock means, it means you're going maybe 5 miles an hour, sometimes just sit in the same spot for hours at a time. And nobody knows why. Probably because somebody ahead of us ran out of gas. Well, we stopped at numerous places. That's something I learned really quick. We stopped at numerous hotels, motels. They were all booked up. But finally, we found a hotel. Well, I'd say a motel. It was a motel. We got the very last room that had the AC. We met some people that came in right after us, and they got the very last room, which didn't have AC. And even though this was in October, hey, Florida is hot, always hot, except in the maybe the middle of winter. And some days, even then, it can be hot. So it taught me a lesson, folks. It taught me a lesson to be more prepared. And sometimes you have to be prepared for yourself if your partner or whoever your friends, they're not willing to be prepared. So that taught me a great lesson. So always be prepared for a long-term stay, whether it's at your home or shelter in place. Now, let me jump back to being in North Florida when Hurricane Helene was coming through. And of course, it was tropical storm by the time it reached us, but it did so much damage. And so many people over the almost past 2 years have approached me or I've met them and they've all asked, what was it like? What was Hurricane Helene like? Well, I didn't know at first because I was dealing with another hurricane. We were dealing with 5 days without power, which happens quite often in Florida, hurricanes. And, you know, one thing that we did have, we were prepared, we had a barbecue grill. Having a barbecue grill or something of that nature can really, even a fireplace or an outdoor fireplace, can save the day because you can cook your food outside. So we had that going. We had prepared water. We had water for drinking. We had water for bathing, the toilets and such. And for the most part, we were okay. Sure, it was hot. It was really hot. September in North Florida or anywhere in Florida is super, super hot. But one thing that we had was good spirits. We knew we would get through it. We knew we'd been through hurricanes before. Yes, we had some damage, nothing too major. We got through it, and we also used flameless candles. I am a big proponent for flameless candles. I have candles all throughout my house that are flameless. They cost next to nothing. In fact, they're better than regular candles because regular candles can be dangerous if you have animals or it falls, you know. I mean, we always have the fire damage. So I remember locking down for about, I want to say probably about three and a half weeks. And I finally said, I can't stand it. I got to get back to Asheville. By then, you know, the waters have, you know, went down. They'd gone up about 14 feet from the river, the French Broad River. And I could see the French Broad River from my house. It is a distance, and I'm way, way, way up on a hill on top of the mountain, I like to say. And I could see it, but no way could 14 feet above the river touch me. But I did have damage to the house. I had wind damage, which insurance thankfully took care of. But here's the thing. Many people in, I'm going to say, the greater Asheville area, and also in Tennessee and South Carolina. Let's be fair. It's not just Asheville, although Asheville gets a lot of the attention. So I get home and I find out, well, you know, the power's back on finally. That's good because I have my mother with me and she's 83 at that time. But we had no water, no water at all. Now, had I been home, I would have had, you know, water prepared, you know, water put aside, you know, drinking water. But thankfully, so many wonderful organizations, too many to mention, came in. And I like to say that they rescued us. So every day we had to boil water or we had to go to a different resource to get the water. And then, you know, we also, you know, a lot of us did not, some of us still didn't have electricity. So there were a lot of food given away. And I took advantage of getting a lot of food, not for myself, but, you know, because I did have a lot of food in the freezer that, well, it all went bad. Oh, my goodness. It all went bad. And let me touch on that real quick. Believe it or not, I didn't know this. Check your insurance, your homeowner's insurance. My homeowner's insurance didn't cover refrigerator damage. When I say refrigerator damage, I'm talking about food damage, okay? I probably, like many people, lost at least $300 or more of produce, you know, drinks that went bad, meat, things like that. It was awful. So I lost out on that. I couldn't claim that on the insurance, but guess what? shortly after that, I contacted my insurance company. I'm like, hey, I need to have a refrigerator, you know, damage, you know, food damage and all. And we got that taken care of, and it cost very little. So for, gosh, for months, we had to be careful with how much water we used. You know, we had to have enough to flush the toilets, to get clean, to brush our teeth, to cook with and such. A lot of people were out there panicking and hoarding water, you know, hoarding things. So I learned then and there before I go to Florida. I was down in Florida. We was down in Florida. That's where my mother's home is, taking time for her to have time in her own home because she's with me and I'm a caregiver. And also for her to see her friends. So in the future, this is what I learned. Be ready for anything. You know, I have plenty of canned food. I have plenty of dried beans and peas and things like that. But one thing I didn't have a whole lot of buildup on or, you know, in stock was water, whether it was just water for, you know, bathing, water for the dogs. I didn't have it. So now, guess what? Anytime, all the time, if you were ever to come to my home, you'd find out I have stocks of water, not excessive. I'm not hoarding it. I'm not taking it from anybody. But what I do have is enough water should anything happen and I was gone, I came back, that I wouldn't be panicking and scrambling. I would have water. And you take it for granted that the water comes out of the faucet, it comes out of the spigot, it comes out of your bathtub, you know, the water, the spigot and such. But when you don't have it for a long time, or you have it, it's coming out toxic, dangerous, brown, you got to be prepared. So it's taught me even more to be more prepared for water. Now, okay, again, I had enough food, and I'm glad that I had enough food. That was not the issue. There are still people. I'm going to say in the greater Asheville area. And when I say that, I do mean to also include the folks, the wonderful folks in Tennessee and the incredible folks in South Carolina. There was so much damage. Even almost 2 years later, there are still people rebuilding their homes or building new homes. There, every single day that I drive anywhere, like River Road, and that goes right by the French Broad River. Every single time I go down that road, I see a small car half stuck in the mud, in the clay. It's all dried up. Nobody has ever claimed it. Nobody's ever moved it. Makes me wonder why it's still there. Maybe it's just a reminder for people. But I see tons of damage still because many people, even if they had insurance, guess what? We don't have flood insurance in North Carolina. I don't think it's offered. And I don't think it's offered in a lot of states now that we're having so many natural disasters. And this is my opinion, and my opinion only, but I think insurance companies are really businesses. And I say that. I don't think they're there to help you. And I say that not to be mean or cruel. But the thing is, when they have people who invest in them, to me, that's a conflict of interest. It means that they want to bring in money, you know, for the people who invest in them, who buy stock and things like that. So I certainly think that's a conflict of interest. And I wish that we'd have laws that could change that so that people who really have insurances are doing the best thing and the right thing for the people. Now, another thing, too, there are all kinds of resources in your area. I know I'm in Woodfin, North Carolina, and Woodfin is also known as North Asheville. We have, with the town of Woodfin, we have some upcoming meetings, and I'm really proud that they've got it together, finally, that they're offering classes, you know, where you can have meetings for resources. You know, we say, oh, is a 1 in a million chance that this happened would ever happen again. Well, whoever saw it happening to begin with, Hurricane Helene just absolutely changed Asheville and the greater area of outside Asheville. So in the future, this is my recommendation. have everything together. I have always, I can't state this enough. I always have extra AA batteries, and I also have AAA batteries, always. What's it for? It could be for the flashlights, because I always have flashlights handy and available for bad weather if the power goes out. I have a propane gas heater that I purposely did if I ever lost electricity, you know, in the wintertime. It's kind of tough when it's the summer, you know, but you know what? You can go, I'm not even going to say where you can get them, because everybody knows where you can get them. For less than $20, sometimes $15, sometimes, you know, I bought them for $12, personal fans that, you know, run off of batteries, some of them USB. But, you know, if you have a way to connect your USB, maybe you have a solar connector or something like that, a charger or something like that, a personal fan that you can wear around your neck, because, yes, they have them out. I know, because I bought probably about 15 of them and gave them away to hardworking people. I know the people who've been really nice to me, really nice to my mother. I just gave one to my handyman, Sean, earlier, who came over and did some yard work for me. As I get older, it gets harder. Let me get that out. It gets harder to dig up unwanted trees and, you know, just really get in the garden when it's backbreaking. But, you know, I noticed he was really sweating and hot. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know what? I have another personal fan. You know, I still had a few off to the side. So I gave it to him. It's USB chargeable, wear around your neck. Also, some of them come with batteries if that's your preference. But I like the USB because you can just charge it in your car or your truck as you're going somewhere. And boom, you have a fan that lasts for hours. So that's one way that you can get through really hot weather. Have a fan, have a personal fan, as I like to call it, right? So I'm giving you some tips. And one thing that I don't want to make anyone feel bad if they've never been prepared for something. We have all been there. Even I have made mistakes. Now, when I lived, let me say, I was recruiting in South Dakota, in the Black Hills of South Dakota. I was an Air Force recruiter, one of the only females out in the field who could, when I say go out of the field, that meant leave your recruiting office. And in the wintertime, we dealt with blizzards. I'm not kidding. I mean, growing up in Florida and working, being stationed in the Black Hills of South Dakota is pretty cool. It's a beautiful place, just like, you know, the mountains are. The Smoky Mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains, just absolutely gorgeous, but just a whole lot less crowded. One of the first things that I learned, you do not, even in the summertime, it doesn't matter what month, you do not get in your vehicle, take off for a long ride without preparations in your vehicle. Because if you broke down, for example, there were times where I wouldn't see anybody for hours, some of the less traveled roads, especially out to the ranches and such. Some of the roads didn't even have names. Back then, we didn't have cell phones. I'm dating myself, but I'm being real. So you had preparations. You always had water. You had another set of clothes. In the wintertime, you had a really heavy-duty sleeping bag or one that would go down, you know, to low temperatures. You had food, access to food, things like that, extra clothes and things like that. Everyone, to this day, I want you to know, y'all, that to this day, when I get in my truck, I don't care. Right now, it's summertime. I don't care what season it is. I always carry extra water. I carry an extra set of clothes. Actually, I carry extra water, especially in the summertime, because somebody I run into is in need of it. Unfortunately, we have homeless people that need assistance. And none of us know why they're homeless. It's not a judgment call, but, you know, we're all God's children. So I always tend to carry a little extra food and a little extra water. So preparation. Now, I've been laughed at before. I mean, I've gone on, let's say, we go to a park or we go to do a small walk or hike or something like that. You know, I've got the backpack on, even if it's we're just going to walk for an hour. I've got water. I usually carry a little extra water, maybe some protein, some nuts and things like that. And people will laugh and they're like, well, aren't you so prepared? Well, yeah. You know, being in the Air Force and being a natural disaster officer, I was assigned to do that during Hurricane Opal. I had to make sure that everybody knew where they were going when they had to evacuate. They had to let us know where they were going to evacuate to, phone numbers to key people, maybe as family, friends, relatives, so we can check on them and let them know it was safe and secure to come back. That's preparation. That's being resilient. Because when you are not prepared, when you're reacting, it's a whole different ball game. Because you may not have access to resources. You may be scrambling. You may be so stressed out that you just can't make sense of everything. So it's always when you're in the calmest, best mood, it's always best to prepare. Now, the last thing I want to touch on, this is really near and dear to my heart. I say this, and I say this humbly. I never went in the Air Force thinking I was going to retire. I went in, I was 20 years old, a little college under my belt. I knew I did not want to stay in the second poorest county in North Florida. Well, it was all of Florida, Putnam County, which is kind of, well, it's an hour below Jacksonville, Florida, to give you an idea. I knew that I did not want to stay there. You know, there was minimum wage jobs. I knew there was more out there. So I went in the Air Force. And the coolest story is when my stepfather died in my early 20s, you know, I came home and I got to see him before he passed. He was really dear to me. But I remember saying to my mom, I'm going to get out of the Air Force and take care of you. My mom, who worked for the Employment Security Commission, said, oh, no, you are not. You are staying in the Air Force. Where can you work 20 years and get a retirement instantly? She's right. Every single month, I could get on my knees and thank God. I not only get an Air Force retirement, but I also get some other benefits in addition to that. But I put the 20 plus years in. And I met somebody yesterday that cut my hair. He was in the Air Force 4 years. Really great guy. Wow, great hair cutter too. And he had spent 4 years in the Air Force. And I knew what he was going to say next when he told me he'd been in the Air Force. I wish I'd stayed in and retired. Well, at 40, I got my retirement. And how often do people at 40 years old get a retirement? Are you going to be rich in the Air Force or any military? They all pay the same. They're just different roles, different missions, and they're all important. No, not unless you're a high-ranking officer, you know, maybe a high-ranking enlisted person. But it's the benefits. You know, it's the free medical, you know, you may get medical after you get out of the service, if it's service connected, those things. The biggest thing that really concerns me is people who get older and then they're desperate because they have not prepared for being old. They have not prepared for home health care that might not be covered by insurance or Medicare. And then they're stuck. Then they're taking remnants or scraps of whatever they can get. It's pure desperation, folks. But you don't have to do that. You do not. Now, I'm going to read from page 42 on Stand Up to Workplace Bullying and Discrimination book. One of my clients' most significant concerns involves what happens after being fired or when about to be fired from a job. Loss of income can be terrifying or concerning to anyone. Losing income can also lead to loss of savings and your 401k if you have one. That alone can shake most people to the core and make them feel vulnerable, even cause them to feel a loss of confidence in their future. I'm going to wrap it up by telling you there are free resources out there. It could be your church. It could be your spiritual center. You know, it could be, you know, speaking to your rabbi. I mean, there's so many resources and assets out there. One of the greatest programs out there is the 411 program, which you can dial 411 on any phone 24/7 and get somebody that it's a part of United Way's program or a volunteer that answers the phone. They can tell you about free resources in your area if you ever get in trouble. And it can happen anyone. I know what it's like to lose a lot of money, lose a lot of my items, lose my home through no fault of my own for speaking up